Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Flex Cortex. Today, I'm joined by Lachlan. And Lachlan and I actually know each other through ZS, so Zach Spencer, as I know a lot of people through him now. And Lachlan is an ISSA certified personal trainer. He's actually within his first year of coaching, but he's had a lot of mentors that have helped shadow, that he's helped work underneath, that have helped really guide the path that he's on. And now he's trying to spread that joy around and help people as well too. So first of all, thank you so much for coming on today. I appreciate you making the time. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, me too. It's great to be on here, and I like to talk about any chance that I get to about fitness, my journey, how I'm able to help other people. And it's been really great to kind of connect with people through the ZS training systems and connect with people that have the same passion as me and really build that community, make it stronger by the day. So it's great to get on here and talk with you.
Yeah, for sure, man. No, it's been really cool to meet a lot of coaches that I probably wouldn't have met otherwise. So that's been a good experience so far too. I mean, obviously the coaching itself has been great, but it's been good to meet some like-minded people that are also ambitious, driven, and eager to grow their business, but also just like help as many people as they can. So to kind of kick things off, let's hear a little bit of a backstory about you. Like if you want, like your villain origin story, if you will, as to like what got you into fitness, what really drove that spark to get, you know, down in weight, and then what really shifted and wanted you to become a coach?
So my whole journey kind of started when, I've always been a heavier kid, through elementary school, junior high, all that kind of stuff. And then in junior high, I started playing football, and club, and transferred into high school, all that kind of stuff. So I played a offensive lineman. So obviously you have to be a little bit bigger. It's for the heavier guys that still want to do athletic things. So I started to do that. And I realized the more competitive that I wanted to be with that, the heavier I had to be in an unhealthy way, in my opinion. I remember kind of the turning point for me when I really realized that I had to commit to it or find something else, was my coach wanted me to gain 50 pounds and I was already at 220 at 16. So I was like, okay, this is either a commit or back away kind of thing. And I wasn't comfortable with that. Obviously being 270 pounds going into like 17, that's not healthy. It's not something that's going to be sustainable. It's terrible for heart health, all that kind of stuff. So that's around the time that COVID hit, and I started working out in my garage because obviously everything shut down here in Canada. Wasn't much to do. Like pretty much everything was gone. So started to work out with these little adjustable dumbbells in my garage and an old broken down Bowflex bench. So that's where we started, the humble beginnings in the garage. And then I kind of backed away from it for a little bit. Did a little bit of like running and that kind of stuff for a while, but didn't have any weights to pick up, that kind of thing. I got complacent and bored and that kind of thing, and just let my comfortability get the best of me. So I ended up getting up to that 270, 265 kind of range naturally. Like I was just eating the way that I was when I was training for football. I wasn't getting any exercise, and it just snowballed from there. And from that point, I kind of realized that, I had that mirror moment is what I call it. It was after a shower, I was just looking at myself and I went, this isn't me. Like I did not recognize the person I was looking at. So I decided that it was really, really time to change. And, shout out to my friend Jonah. He, his uncle owned a, little gym, not really a gym, but it had some equipment that we would be able to drive out to. And, that was absolutely fantastic. It gave us the start that we needed. It had a little turf area. It had a bench, some weights, that kind of stuff. And every day they would help me get out there. And we would kind of like bounce off ideas with each other with training programs and that kind of stuff. So it was me, Jonah, and my brother that really started to make the changes for ourselves. And from there, I was more health conscious, because I had these ideas in my head that I needed to do the most to get the most out of my fat loss and try to look good, the best that I could, which is not true. The more that I've worked out, the more that I've been diving into nutrition, all that kind of stuff over the past 4 years, it's simple is the best. You don't need the best training program. You don't need the best science-based approach to your food. You just need to eat less and do more. That's the basics of it. There's obviously more into it. There's more to it, but I started eating a little bit less, higher protein diet, that kind of stuff, working out more, making sure that I was actively living, not sitting at video games for 9 hours a day kind of thing. And yeah, making sure that I was active every minute of the day. Well, not every minute, but you know what I mean? Like trying to get up, trying to get steps on, that kind of stuff. And then from there, I finished high school. I got a job at a car dealership, and I would just, it would be a routine that I built for myself. I'd wake up, I'd go to work, I'd have my gym bag packed with me. I'd head straight to the gym after work. Then I'd come home and repeat it, like that kind of thing. I really built that from a young age. This is around 17 that I started my fat loss. Well, really into it. From that 265, I managed to get myself down to a solid 200 by myself, and just through YouTube videos, making sure I do the research on what I'm eating, how much I'm eating, and what I'm putting in my body. And then from there, I really wanted to get into bodybuilding because I saw a bunch of TikToks, a bunch of YouTube videos about like Sebum, Max Taylor lifts, all those guys. And I was like, I really want to try this for myself. And I got a connection through my girlfriend's mom for a coach who is now my coach and has been for the past 3 years, Moose. And from there, we've worked together, managed to build me up to what I think is a very solid physique now. And the amount of knowledge that I have behind me that I didn't have when I started with him, it's nothing short of a gift. And I wish that I could give some of the tips that I know now to people that are going through that fat loss at that 270, that 300, that kind of stuff. So, I got into it from there for coaching. I was like, I want to be able to help people that were in the same position as me, because I never want people to feel that way or not recognize themselves. I got in contact with Zach, and I wanted to build a business. I wanted to make sure that I could help as many people as I could through coaching and through the knowledge that I built for myself. And I'm so thankful that I'm able to do that now, because I wish I had somebody like me when I started. That had been through it, that had could give me the personal experience and those stories that you need to kind of keep you motivated sometimes. It's been amazing being able to help people out, either gaining muscle, getting that dream physique that they want, or losing a little bit of fat, making sure that we build proper habits, because it's the most important part about all of it.
Yeah, so you kind of mentioned a cool point there with like that mirror moment for yourself as you labeled it, right? So within that moment, what do you think shifted for you?
It was looking at myself and not being able to recognize the person that was looking back at me. And it's such a cliche because you hear that all the time in like those edits on YouTube and stuff like that. But I genuinely didn't know who I was looking at. I was like, I would actively avoid looking at myself after a shower, that kind of stuff. And it had been a couple of months, and I'm like, so I took a look and I went, ugh, like that's not what I remember myself looking like. I had let myself go. There's like the worst that it got for eating habits was, I think I look back at it now and think it was kind of impressive. But I took down a large Papa John's pizza and 2 pints of Ben and Jerry's in a sitting. So, yeah, I was like,
it is impressive.
Yeah, I know, right? So I was like, maybe we got to fix this. Like, this is probably not healthy.
Yeah. Unless you're wanting to enter some sort of like speedy.
Oh, 100%.
Then maybe it would serve.
Unless you're
you,
Matt Stoney. Yeah.
Jokes aside, but yeah, no, I think that moment though is super crucial for people, right? I think you kind of have to reach a point where you look at yourself and like you mentioned, maybe you don't recognize mm-hmm. yourself and you realize, okay, well, I'm not happy with where I am, but I think it'll kind of go two different ways, right? Either somebody will look at themselves and they'll be like, oh, I hate how I look right now. And they'll just like fall into this pit of despair mm-hmm. around how they look. Or like you mentioned, it'll stem action. They'll be like, okay, well, I want to, from here, actually take control of my life and move in the right direction. And I feel like it's hard to do that on your own sometimes, but that's why it's so important to, like you mentioned quite a bit in what you said there too, about like having a coach. Mm-hmm. I think like having somebody to light that spark for you, keep that fire lit in the beginning too, where motivation can kind of drop off fast, right? Or motivation can be fleeting. And it could be helpful to have somebody that you could really lean on to keep the momentum going and to get at least like you, like things started in the right direction. Cause I feel like a lot of people will just tend to, they'll have that moment, but they won't know like what to do mm-hmm. next.
They won't know what to do next. They'll look at, they'll be like a general Google search of how to lose fat or how can I lose weight? And they'll see 40 or 50 different perfect programs for them. And they'll look at them and they're like, they're unsustainable. They're not something that is going to work for them. And I remember looking through those myself and I got really, really overwhelmed. I'm like, oh my God, I have to add all of this in instantly to start losing fat. It's like, no, take it one step at a time, simplify what you're doing. And those small steps are going to stack up over time. You're going to start to see the weight come off, the fat come off, all that kind of stuff. It's not as hard as people tend to think it is. Because my mentality used to be like, if I messed up one day, I might as well not continue for the rest of the week. Like I'll start next week. Like if you mess up, it's okay. You have to adjust from there. It's not a be all end all kind of thing. And, the amount of overflow of information that people are getting about, fat loss, the perfect programs and that kind of stuff is, it pisses me off sometimes because it's like, why throw this many things at somebody that's just trying to lose a little bit of fat or go through, like start losing fat, start being healthier. They don't need to eat like a bodybuilder to lose weight. You can use sauces, low calorie sauces, that kind of stuff. Make your food taste good. It's not all bland chicken and rice and stuff. So it's crazy to see the amount of stuff that people are putting out. That's just, I disagree with a lot of it.
Yeah, and I think that perceived level of complexity tends to be deterring for a lot of people because like you mentioned too, right? Like when you first kind of did that first Google search, mm-hmm. right? You're like, oh my God, like what if this is actually true or not, right? And also, I'm seeing all these things in front of me now, but what do I believe? What do I trust? What do I actually do, right? And then I think within that too, that could be when somebody is in such a volatile place, like they're in a place where their ability to commit to something is relatively low. So if they see something and they're like, this is incredibly overwhelming, I don't even know what to begin with doing, they'll likely just like revert back and stop. And it's the unfortunate truth because like they don't have the knowledge that you've acquired or the knowledge that I have, right? To be able to look at that and be like, oh, okay, well, let's just start again. Like you said before, like it's kind of ties in nicely to what we're talking about today, really like simplifying the weight loss process and like looking at it from a standpoint of like, what actionable steps can you do daily or weekly to get you towards your fat loss goal? Like maybe your big goal, right? But like, what can we do from like an adherence standpoint, like now and for the week to get you towards your longer term goal?
Yeah, exactly. It's those small stepping stones that are going to make the journey so much easier because it's breaking that large goal up into smaller ones by the day or by the week kind of thing. Like I said, they stack up and you of course know that as well because by working with people, it's all about the small habits because you can take somebody with huge dedication issues, somebody that doesn't see it, like will fight you at any means that they can because they think that they're right kind of thing. and you can start to install those small stepping stones into them, and it'll be like, oh my God, I'm so happy that it started to change. Trust the process, don't overcomplicate it, that kind of thing. I find that people need to find what they can manage in their lives and apply that daily, start to change certain habits. Yeah. Like, if you drive home and you have trouble, skipping by a fast food spot, let's say, like there's a Wendy's on the way home, you always go and pick up like a burger after work or something, take a different way home or turn a little bit sooner. See if you can avoid that, or have a really long drink of water. I'm not going to lie, that's the thing that helped me out when I was in fat loss. If you have a craving, drink a bottle of water. It'll go away. It's just that feeling of needing it that I find a lot of people have trouble with. And what I found the most helpful thing for me in my journey was taking your mind off food. Social media has that, like, there's so many different baking videos and videos about, oh, this is a great new spot in your area, and you really want to go and try those. If you're trying to lose fat, it's going to tempt you constantly, and you're going to be thinking about food 24/7. So try and find other things that you can think about, like pick up, it sounds stupid, but pick up hobbies, that kind of stuff, to stop yourself from thinking about those kind of things.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of merit to that too. Cause like, I think, again, I used to be that kind of person where I would work really late, right? And what's open at past 10 p.m. right? McDonald's, A&W, Wendy's, and everything. And you're like, oh, I could really fuck up a double mozzarella right now, right? And you're like, you're hungry, and you're like, oh yeah. And then all of a sudden, you're before you know it, you're in the drive-thru, right? So I love what you said there too about like just changing your route. Or something that I've been doing too is like, and this takes time too, right? To get to the point where you're planning this far in advance. But if you know that your day is long, like, bring an extra snack. And I'm not saying like an extra meal, but like something that can tie you over until you get home. Especially if, like, base it off of like, how long is your commute? You know, how long is your day, right? And like, just bring something you could snack on the way home. Like, maybe it's like trail mix, or maybe it's like just something, right? Like anything that could like satiate you a little bit, tie you over to the point where you can like get home and have your meal. But also, I think what you mentioned earlier too is like, I love what you said about enjoying your meals. Because a lot of people won't want to adhere to a diet plan if the food is bland as fuck.
Yeah.
Like if they're like if they look at their meal and it's like, you look like you were served it in a prison cell. It's like, okay, well, like you can probably, you know, enjoy it more than that. So like you could probably, you know, utilize some seasoning. Like you said before, utilize local sauces or like do a stir fry, or like I saw peanut butter on your ground beef the other day. I'm like, teach their own, dude. But like, again, find little things that you like and that you enjoy, right? Like for me lately too, like I've found that I've really been enjoying salad bowls, because like, again, salad's so much volume. You can like put different toppers on it, you could put different kinds of protein in it, right? You can different kinds of like homemade sauces you could do. Like, don't have it super bland and boring. And like, if you find that you're getting to a point where like adherence is getting low, like just change up the sauce that you're using, change up the protein source, you know, like, again, if we want to sustain these habits long term, there has to be like a sustainable approach with it.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And those, speaking of those salads, those look really good on your Instagram. I gotta try those. But yeah, I'm not the best role model with making my food taste good. Because I'm one of those people that can eat anything. Like, it doesn't really matter. Like, texture, I'm not a texture person. I like taste. It's not a huge thing to me. So that's like, I've been finding, either recipes or sauces and stuff that, people in my program can use to like utilize to make their stuff taste good. Cause the things I put on my story usually don't look that good, and it looks like the prison food, but it works for me. You know what I mean? Maybe it'll work for somebody else, but I do get talked to about that a lot by, people like Zach and that kind of thing. It's like, dude, your food looks like shit. And I'm like, I know.
But I think you and I are similar in the sense too, where we eat for performance and you're eating. And like, I'm not saying that that's totally a completely healthy way of thinking, because I think there is going to be a social component to food, right, and a cultural component to food. But I do think, like, again, you do get to a point where you've been eating and tracking food for so long that you kind of just see a meal as like macros. Yeah. And you see it as like, okay, well, like this amount of rice in here, this amount of ground beef in here, this amount of sauce in here, right? And like, not that it's like, again, completely a healthy way of thinking about things, but I think you get to a point where it's like, okay, well, this helps me fuel my workouts. This helps me recover well. This helps me sleep well. This helps me get towards my goals. So I'm eating this because it helps me get towards this quality of life that I want to have. We'll say yeah. that, right? And this quality of life that I'm striving for. And I think a lot of people like find those things monotonous and like 100% like, again, but I do think that again, within having specific goals, you have to have specific actions. Right. And I think like, if you do have goals of losing weight, gaining weight, whatever it may mm-hmm. be, it's like, you do have to be, I think, tracking food in that sense. Right. Cause like, obviously, I don't know. It's interesting because I'm in a place for myself personally right now. And this is still, I'd say, relevant to what we're talking mm-hmm. about, where for the first time in my life, I've actually been like eating intuitively. And before I want to give some context to people as they listen to this, right? I wouldn't suggest eating intuitively is good for most people. And I'd say this because, again, when you have specific goals of weight loss or weight gain, you do have to ensure that you're hitting targets that are required for you to get towards your goals. If you want to lose weight, you have to be eating in a deficit, yeah. right? If you're wanting to gain weight, you have to be eating in a surplus. And eating intuitively, there's too much left for interpretation to really know on like an accurate day-to-day basis, right? So for me, I'm doing it in a sense to just maintain body weight, and I'm using my body weight as a gauge of how much I'm actually eating on a daily basis, yeah. right? And like, that's why I'm just wanting to give context here, because I think like for most people, eating intuitively isn't going to work. But if you have a longer track record of tracking food, of maybe even following a meal plan for a while, and like, there's not much variance, because right now the foods that I am eating, it's very similar to what I was eating when I was tracking. Mm-hmm. It's just the only variance within that too might be the protein source or the snacks, right? Yeah. But it is important though, I think, if somebody has specific goals, like if they want to lose weight or gain weight, tracking is going to be important, or a meal plan. But I do think that like, it is a good skill to learn to intuitively mm-hmm. eat, to like listen to hunger cues, listen to hunger signals, and see what your body actually needs for performance.
Yeah.
But that's just like a bit of a side.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And I totally agree with that. Like the thought of like, to me, I haven't gotten to that point yet, but the thought of eating intuitively kind of scares me just because of my background. Cause I'm like, well, I could eat a pizza right now kind of thing. But it's like, when you think about it, what you brought up is the still eating for performance kind of thing, being aware of what you're putting in your body. Like, what do I need versus what do I want? Like all that kind of thing. And you can still, it's like that, when it comes back to like lifestyle people and that aren't like athletes and that kind of stuff, just looking to lose weight or gain a little bit of muscle. It's that 80-20 approach that people talk about. Like that's a huge thing. Yeah. Like you can have like a meal or two on the weekend kind of thing in moderation. That's not going to throw off your whole week kind of thing. But making sure that you're still going out and enjoying time with friends, but having that awareness of what you're putting in and how much of it you're putting in your body, because I'm pretty sure like me and you will know one meal could fuck up your week depending on how much you eat, because we've all had that morning where you wake up 5 pounds bigger. You're like, oh, okay, what the fuck did I do last night? But, I think that approach with, starting off people with like counting macros to simplify it, just being aware of what macros are in the first place and how they'll affect you, and how much of something you need and don't need. Because in my experience, people often eat far less protein than they should for bodily functions. Because everybody's very surprised when I talk about like keeping a food journal. I had one of my guys keep a food journal before we started together. And he was like, yeah, I'm getting a great amount of protein in. I'm getting I don't snack too much and all that kind of stuff. And I'm eating around like 2,300 calories a day kind of thing. And I got the food journal back. And it was around 3,400 calories with like 100 and something grams of protein. I'm like, okay, let's break it down. Let's make something that works for you, but we will be eating less. But it's more high volume foods to keep your body satiated, yeah. adding in greens, like micronutrients. I preach that all the time because that has changed the way my body functions. It's like greens. Yeah. You have to add it in. You have to, like, fruit people view as evil. Eat the goddamn apple. It's not that hard, dude.
Yeah. Be an adult and eat your vegetables, okay? And if you're not going to eat your vegetables, have greens.
Exactly.
You know, be a grown-ass adult and have your greens for sure.
Eat your broccoli. Your mom's not going to tell you anymore. You have to do it yourself.
Yeah. No, that's I love that, dude. And I think, like, greens are so important, too, because the way that I try to preach it to my clients too is, what are the odds that we're actually getting all of the micronutrients that we need, but also fiber and everything mm-hmm. like that we would normally need just from food?
Yeah.
And like, if you could take a greens powder and get like one scoop a day, and you're getting in at least what you could possibly need, or at least closer to, like, that's good peace of mind, yeah. right? Versus having maybe that variance or having that flexibility and maybe not getting close to your targets. Mm-hmm. Right. And like, for me too, I've noticed like substantial difference from taking greens.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you just, as far as like energy levels go, digestion, right. Bowel movements, you know, how regular you are. And like, I almost think too, like, I think for me too, I've been able to lower my caffeine intake in conjunction with it too. So I've actually been able to lower the caffeine intake and have more sustained energy from lower caffeine. And I think it's probably partially because I work out in the morning mm-hmm. too. But I do think that a large part of it is because of the greens. Because, like,
yeah, 100%. I totally agree with that. Like, it's greens are like, I have a supplement protocol for the people that work with me. And creatine, obviously, for everybody should take 5 grams of creatine, no matter what. It's great for your brain. It's great for your body. Glutamine, I tell people to take, just help you repair your body. I want people to make sure that they're taking care of their joints, that they're taking care of everything, and maximizing recovery, as well as greens. Greens is like a non-negotiable for me, because I found, like, if I don't take it and I forget one morning, on the odd morning, because it's part of my routine now, if I forget to have it, I like feel sluggish. I feel slow that day. Like, digestion's not as good. Yeah. My food sits like a brick in my stomach. It's like, it makes a difference, and people think it's like a placebo or it's a load of shit. It's really not. It does make a huge difference.
Yeah. And I think there's, unless I'm wrong, there's some digestive benefits with glutamine too, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
So it kind of works congruently with the greens that you're also taking.
It helps.
As well.
Ridiculous. Like that. Plus it tastes good. If you get a good greens powder that doesn't taste like shit, use it every day. It's like a morning smoothie kind of thing without the extra calories. And it tastes pretty good. As long as you don't get a bad flavor. Cause there's a lot of those. Also,
for most people too, I would suggest before your coffee.
Yes.
And I think this is a little bit of a side note, but I think it's still relevant and important, because it's good to get the minerals, the vitamins, and also the electrolytes in your system, and also the water in your body before coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I am also first thing in the morning, and it's water, and then it's greens. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, if I'm training in the morning, then it'll be pre-workout. Or if I'm not, then it would be coffee.
Yeah, totally. And I'm a huge advocate for when you wake up, like throughout the morning of the time that you get up to eating your breakfast, however long that takes, drink like a liter of water. I'm huge on that. It gets your body going. You'll feel amazing in the morning. You get, you won't be dehydrated as soon as you wake up, because obviously you just slept for eight hours. You need the water. Putting coffee in your body like right away. First off, I find, like, as a side note for myself, I start to, like, caffeine affects me pretty heavily. So if I have caffeine while I'm dehydrated, I get that like fuzzy feeling. I'm like, I can't, like, it's just a little disorienting. But drinking that 1 liter of water is amazing in the morning. And keeping, like, that's another thing with fat loss, keeping your water intake consistent. Drink water. It's not going to make you fat. drink as much as you want. It's not a bad thing.
Also, yeah, also the amount of people that I've talked to that are like, I don't like water. I'm like,
how do you not like water? It's like, okay, man.
I'm like, okay, let me try to understand this fully. I'm like, I don't. I mean, like, again, that's when Mio can come into place, right? If you really need to utilize some sort of sweetener to get your water intake mm-hmm. in, I'm all for it. I've suggested that to clients before. I'm like, if you really don't like your water, like, go buy a flavoring, maybe even have some, like, a little bit of an electrolyte blend in it mm-hmm. too, just like have it in your water. Like, that's cool, but like, it's interesting how people are like, I don't like
is water. That that Gatorade Zero, those packages, the little sticks that you can buy as well, those I drink those throughout the day at work, and sometimes through a lift, you need some extra electrolytes, pop one of those into your water while you're working out. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. So what would be, this is kind of an interesting talking point. If you could look back at Lachlan, that was just going to start his weight loss journey, the guy who just had that, the mirror mm-hmm. moment. If you were to look at that approach, how would you change that approach now? Or would you have left the approach the same?
Vastly different. It started at a state of, I need to eat a lot less than I am right now to like starvation levels and move an excessive amount. And I would never tell anybody to do that. Like it was that, David Goggins kind of stuff. Like I'd have a can of tuna and an apple in the morning, and then I wouldn't eat until like 5 PM after doing a workout, a running routine. It's like, okay, I wonder why I feel like I'm going to pass out. Like it's, your body needs fuel. Like it's not, you're not, it's going to work counterintuitively if you don't eat food. Cause what I ended up noticing is, oh, I'm gaining weight. Why? I'm eating less. Your body's starving itself. Like it's not gonna, you need food to lose weight. And that was the weirdest concept that I started to learn. Making sure that you calculate, and it will take a couple of, like, honestly, a week or two to get used to what your body actually needs versus what you're eating. Yeah. Because I really dove into it with myself. I'm like, okay, this obviously isn't working, starving myself. And I started watching videos, just general YouTube, especially one guy, Will Tennyson, that I still watch to this day. He's awesome. It was that whole approach of making sure that you're giving your body what it needs, but a little bit less. So, well, that sounds bad, but you know what I mean. So, like, taking mm-hmm. your maintenance calories, dropping them by a small amount to keep yourself from plateauing. You do find a plateau, okay, drop it a little bit more. Not like a 700-calorie deficit a day, but something small, like 200-300 kind of thing to begin with, and keep going from there. Depends on what you're doing for your activity, what your job is. But when I first started, I started using those calorie count, the not calorie counting apps, but the websites for the calorie calculators, what you need and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I found a lot of those are really wildly inaccurate, because it told me that I needed 3,200 calories to lose weight. No, absolutely not. So
it's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot. It's probably more than you were eating then.
100%. Right? Like, yeah, it's ridiculous. So I looked at what I was eating and the quality of food. And that's why I'm such a big, a big advocate for whole foods diets, is give your body natural food. Like it should moo as a protein source, in my opinion, or like it should be chicken, beef, that kind of stuff can great macronutrients, and micros.
So the chicken moo?
No,
I'm just kidding.
I don't know what you're eating if the chicken's mooing.
Whatever.
Yeah, but yeah, I would eat things like cans of tuna, which is great and stuff. It was such a small amount of food. And what I really started to notice was how shitty I felt. Like it was like, oh, this is what fat loss is a burning stomach when I'm going to bed. No, like it's not that's telling. Sometimes you get like a little hungry, but that's part of it sometimes, but you shouldn't have a burning stomach feeling like you're going to pass out while you're trying to sleep. Like people take it from one extreme to another. thinking that they should go from eating a fuckload of food to eating absolutely nothing. And what I would say to people and myself back then is find what satiates you and what keeps you at the same weight that you're at right now for your calories. Slowly start to drop them. Like I said, move more, work out, weight training. I'm a huge advocate for hypertrophy training. Because the more muscle on your body, the more calories that you can eat. Like, if you want to eat more food,
body will become into
bigger.
Yeah.
it's going to help you in the long run. And I think people really need to simplify it and break it down to what they like, what they don't like, and find ways that they can create food that tastes good for them and that's sustainable. Something that you can see yourself doing for a long period of time, because at that excess weight that I had at like 270, getting down to 200 took quite a while. It's going to be something, it's not a quick fix. It's not 2 weeks. It's not 2 months. It's probably going to be half a year to 8 months to a year kind of thing. It all depends on ups and downs, ebb and flow, that kind of thing. But to anybody starting a fat loss journey, give yourself a break. Let yourself get a little bit of information on the food that you are eating. Keep a food journal, and then make small adjustments from there. Make sure that you're eating a sufficient amount of protein, eating high volume foods, and finding what you like and what works for you, as well as training. Make sure that like it doesn't matter if you're a 60-year-old man or a 25-year-old man. I feel like everybody can benefit from working out. Getting your body moving doesn't have to be bodybuilding, that kind of stuff. It could be literally anything that you enjoy, but make sure it's sustainable, because you don't want that journey to be a constant battle throughout the entire thing. It's going to be hard. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there was times where I was like, this sucks, I want to give up. But it's thinking back to why you started in the first place, remembering your why. For me, thinking of whenever I felt like, oh, I really want to cheat on my diet. I just want like a week to be normal, which wasn't normal, but anyway, it's, thinking back to who you saw in the mirror. Like do you really want to get back to that spot? And that's what kept me going. Just health reasons. It's like being overweight for a long period of time isn't healthy. Like your body, it is not meant to be excessively overweight. You should want to, you should want to eat for health and not for pleasure sometimes. Like we talked about with greens powder and stuff, you need to, that's taking care of your health. These kind of things are just going to, it's going to help build your heart up, because your heart's a muscle. It needs to be able to work, but fueling yourself with the proper stuff and making sure that you're taking care of yourself at the beginning.
Yeah, I think something that kind of ties nicely into this too is like, if you are planning to have a cheat meal, or let's say, I don't like the word cheat meal, because I think cheat meal would indicate that you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing. So let's say
meal kind of thing, as like, because it's like you're still on your diet, you're not cheating, it's just fun.
So I'd say a free meal, or like just a time where you're wanting to enjoy yourself a little bit too, like plan the rest of your day around it, right? Like if you are going to, and I'm sure your approach is very similar with your clients too, it's like if you are going to go out and you know that you're going to go out with the boys and you're going to have wings or you're going to have pizza with your friends, like know that you're going to do that and like plan the rest of your day accordingly, right? Like if you know, maybe you're macro fasting, like maybe you're having most of your carbs or your fats for later on in the day, and maybe you're just like slamming some protein earlier on in the day. Maybe you're having protein shakes, maybe you're having egg whites, maybe you're having just some foods to satiate you and to get your protein in earlier on. Just like, it's about being strategic and not just like, again, eating the same way the remainder of the day. And then that meal will set you way over.
Exactly.
Right. It's like, it's a matter of like, okay, well, let's be strategic and let's plan around the fact that I am going to have this meal. But also too, like if you do have one day where you're over, like it's okay too. Like, I think like, it's okay to like, it's about normalizing that. And like specifically about talking to yourself individually as a person and being like, hey, you know what? I didn't fail myself today. Like I didn't, like, you don't have to go through this whole spiral of shame because you had a meal that isn't necessarily quote unquote maybe serving mm-hmm. you. And like, it's okay to have those and to normalize having those social outings and gatherings and going out with your friends. Like, in like that you said earlier too, like about the 80-20, mm-hmm. it's like fitness should be this thing that really improves every aspect of your life. It shouldn't be this thing that you have to follow so closely and adhere to 100% of the time, because like, it shouldn't be super restrictive. Mm-hmm. It should allow you to enjoy life more fully.
100%. It should be something that it helps you work towards the goals that you set out for yourself and taking care of your health, but also be enjoyable. You shouldn't restrict yourself 100% yeah. of the time. Like you said, and like I've heard, speaking of him, Will Tennyson on his podcast, that macro fasting stuff, that's, it's like he said, he gets hungry at night and wants a snack or something. Save some carbs for at night. If you're somebody that knows that you're going to snack, so that you don't set yourself over, like cut back a little bit on a little bit of rice and a meal through a couple of meals throughout the day. And maybe you can have some popcorn at the end of the day before you go to bed, or watching a movie. If that's something that you really want, like, you watch a movie on Friday nights, with a significant other or friends and stuff, and you want to snack, save some calories, save some carbs for nighttime so that you're able to have a snack and it doesn't set you over. And making sure that you do give yourself the grace that needed, because you're not going to be perfect 100% of the time. I wasn't. No. It took me a full year to really get to where I wanted to be. And I would beat myself up over that, going, oh, you're a piece of shit, all that kind of stuff. It's like, it's not that hard. Everybody else can do it. It's like, relax, calm your shit for a minute. You're fine. It was one day out of the entire week. You had 6 other days where you were perfect. You're allowed to be 200 calories over. It's not going to kill you. Like, you have to give yourself that little grace period. And that's what I've helped people, kind of, that's a huge thing that I preach with my clients, is the mental health aspect of it. Cause I don't see a lot of people talk about that. Yeah. Especially with men. Nobody talks about stuff that they should. And it's the constant negative self-talk when it comes to fat loss or thinking about a way that you should look. You need to talk to people about that, but you also need to realize that it's internal and nobody else is viewing it like that. Nobody knows that you were 200 calories over today, but you're going to beat yourself up and ruin your day because of it. Like, it's not that you should be able to give yourself a little bit of grace and make sure that you're actively working towards bettering yourself, and you're doing it. One day is not going to kill you, or a couple days out of the month is not going to kill you. You can treat yourself. You can go out with friends, that kind of thing. It's not a do or die situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's almost like the shame component of it makes it worse than going to the 200 calories over. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like the shame that we feel, or the shame that we make ourselves feel subconsciously for going that little bit over, is worse than actually going over. If we look at it from like a stress standpoint, mm-hmm. like a cortisol standpoint, just by how our body responds to feeling shame and guilt. And like you said too, like, you almost think like, oh, you're a piece of shit. Yeah. You went over your calories today. Of course you're not losing weight. Right. And that's a whole thing where the amount that you're like beating yourself up over, like, it amplifies mm-hmm. your body's response to the food that you ate.
Yeah.
It's, and then almost like, and then like you said too, sometimes I think early on you mentioned too, that some people, what they'll have happen is they'll have one day where they're over, but then it'll derail the rest of their week.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, it's only a day, and in some cases it's only a meal, mm-hmm. right? So one meal does not mean that you mess up the entire week. And like, I wouldn't even say it as a mess up, like with a lot of my clients now, even myself too, because I've dealt with a lot of like food related issues. Mm-hmm. And I try to just see it as like, I enjoyed myself.
Yeah.
Because I think like, again, we tend to identify foods and behaviors as good and bad, mm-hmm. right? We like think, okay, well, like, I was good this weekend, or like, I was bad this weekend. And I'm like, what does that really even technically mean? Like, what does good look like to you? What does bad look like to you? But if you, and like, even like a cheat meal, right? It's like we discussed earlier too, with calling something a cheat meal, you're giving the idea of having this meal where you're off plan, the idea of cheating, which, what is cheating associated with?
Bad.
It's bad. It's
already a negative connotation with what you're doing.
So then it, So then it creates this certain mentality, and like it associates these certain feelings and emotions to this meal that you mm-hmm. have, and you're having this meal knowing that you're cheating on your diet.
Yeah.
It's like, so like, again, instead of having it where you're having that meal where you are just enjoying yourself, if you're able to go into the meal and like give yourself the grace and allow yourself to just have that meal, just being like going into it, being like, hey, I'm going to have this meal today. That's okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Making it a part of the plan and not a cheat meal.
Yeah.
Like having it plan around it. Like you said, that's the huge thing is once a week, like go enjoy yourself, like have a good meal, probably on a weekend, that kind of thing. It doesn't mean that you like throw in the towel for the rest of the weekend.
No,
it's you need to make sure that you're enjoying yourself while sticking to your goals. That's the biggest thing that I like to talk to my clients about, is making sure that you're able to enjoy the process, or else you won't like the end goal. It's not going to be something like it. You'll get there, but you won't feel really rewarded.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier that you put a big focus on mindset, and I love that, because I think I do too, for sure. And I think men's mental health isn't talked about enough. So anybody that talks about men's mental health more, or just mental health in general, I have like mad props for, because I feel like a lot of men struggle in silence. Yeah. So I think that just normalizing that is key. But with a lot of your clients, what do you feel like the common barriers are, or the roadblocks are, and how do you go about trying to coach them through it?
Everybody's their own worst critic, could not be more true when you're working with people. There'll be times on like check-ins where I talk with some of the guys, and they'll only list what went wrong this week. And I start to search for what went right and that kind of stuff. And they find it hard to list it. The biggest thing that I find kind of amplifies that is that negative self-talk, is that they don't think that they can do it, therefore they don't try. So having that person to give you that extra kick in the ass and tell you you can do it and make the stepping stones and help collaborate with you in order to get you to that point of the goal that you're trying to reach is the biggest thing. Like collaborating with the people that I work with, making sure that they feel comfortable with the steps that they're taking every day and every week, and that it's manageable. So it may seem daunting to lose 50 pounds. When you really, really break it down, it's a pound and a half per week kind of thing. That seems more manageable. Sometimes you're going to fluctuate. There'll be like, you go, oh, I gained 0.5 a pound. It doesn't matter, because in the grand scheme of things, maybe next week you'll drop 2 pounds out of nowhere, that kind of thing. Body works in mysterious ways. But really breaking down the goal so it doesn't seem as daunting is what I've started to do with people. Because like I said, when you look at it, losing 50 pounds seems impossible, but it's because it's not going to happen like that. It's not an instant thing. Really breaking it down into the small stepping stones, the 1 pound per week kind of thing, or really slowly if you want to, the 0.5 pounds per week. But it's making it more manageable and allowing them to realize that they can do it. Like you're able to achieve that goal. It's not impossible. It's not out of reach, but it does take work.
Yeah.
And I'm here to help you work through it so that we can get the proper steps towards that. So I think it's that the negative self-talk, especially in men that I see, and the kind of giving up before they start in their mind, that's the huge thing that I look for, and how we can reverse that and start talking in a more positive way and viewing ourselves in a more positive light. Because you can do amazing things. You just need to be able to break them down into the proper steps.
Yeah. I've been doing a lot of like personal growth and like work myself, and I've realized that a lot of the issues people experience, and myself included too, like these limiting beliefs, all stem down to self-worth.
Yeah.
And like, if you don't believe that you're worthy of achieving these goals or working towards these goals, or if you don't believe that you're worthy of having your life be different, it'll be hard to have substantial change. Mm-hmm. And that ties into, like, I love what you said there too about clients having issues listing off good things.
Yeah.
Right. again, I think like you said before, we tend to always just criticize ourselves and like we'll become hypercritical. Oh, like this week I was 500 steps off my step count goal one day. Oh, this week I was like a tablespoon of peanut butter over what I was supposed to be eating, whatever. And what I've been doing a lot with my clients now is starting off my check-in process with what are some wins from the week? And like just starting it off on a positive note can be like the biggest difference. Yep. Instead of just being like, hey, what are some things that went wrong? And also like reframing it too, right? About like, instead of me saying what things went wrong, it's how can we set up next week for success?
Yep.
It's not a matter of being like, oh, how did you drop the ball this week? Or like, how did you mess up? Because again, like people, like you said, they come into this with low confidence, right? They come into this feeling like they can't do anything, that they're not doing well enough already. So if we hyper fixate on things that they're already feeling very self-conscious of, that'll just amplify those feelings and likely cause them to not want to take action. And what it might do is it might paralyze them, it might hold them in place because they're just like, well, why would I be trying these things when I can't even do anything right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, and it's definitely an important thing. And I think also too, within this, when somebody is listing off wins, I also like to have them also talk about things that they are happy with on an internal level, not just externally. Mm-hmm. Because I think what people will tend to do right off the bat is they'll be like, oh, I was a great mom this week. Or, you know, I was really there for my husband this week. And I'm like, that's incredible. Mm-hmm. That's great. That shows the kind of person that you are. But what did you do to show up for yourself this week? Because I think that like, and then the people usually have trouble thinking about that because it comes down to, like you said, people are very hypercritical of themselves and things that they're not doing, but they find it tough to be like, well, I am doing these things well, or I do have these traits that are good. And it's challenging because you're trying to like reframe that mindset, or like you mentioned, like shift those beliefs.
It's that keeping the glass half full kind of thing. What did I do good this week? What can I continue to do to progress in? What did I do amazing with? That kind of stuff. It's that people have a lot of trouble and they tend to stumble over their words when they ask how they showed up for themselves and what went right with them this week. And bringing that out at the beginning of like a check-in process or just making sure to check up with somebody, like how's this week going, that kind of thing. How was yesterday? And getting them to initially state the positives, I find snowballs at the beginning of like a check-in or a conversation of what went right. Oh, this, oh, also this, it makes them remember what they did right this week and the small steps. Like, maybe I took a different route and I didn't get a burger after work the entire week, that kind of thing. Huge win. Yeah. Because you didn't give in to those old habits and you're starting to form the new ones for your health and your progress. Really highlighting the positives in each situation, no matter how small they seem. Small wins or big, they're wins no matter what, and you got to take them.
Yeah, and you want to just like stack that momentum.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
If we can think about stacking these wins and creating some momentum and like some forward progress, then they're way more likely to adhere versus just being really like hyper fixated on the outcome or the long term.
Exactly. Goal. Yeah. You need to be able to see the small wins week by week or day by day kind of thing. Even just like prepping meals. That's a huge win. You set yourself up for success for an entire week. That's huge. Like you won't feel the need to go and get a burger or something like that, like I said. But keeping your eye on the overarching goal, but breaking it down into smaller steps and enjoying the process, enjoying the wins along the way.
Awesome. Yeah. No, thanks, man. This was really good. I think there's like a lot of great points in this episode that can be great for a lot of people that are starting out. But I think also too, like if you are maybe in the early stages of your fitness journey and you're finding that you start, stop, or you're in a place where you're starting, but you feel like you're not really seeing the progress you want to be seeing. And maybe like you mentioned before too, you're taking like, maybe they're taking a very a very intense approach where they're eating no food. They're exercising like 2 to 3 times a day. This is a good episode, I think, for them to listen to really focus on like simplifying the fat loss process.
Yeah.
Like, don't overcomplicate it. I think overcomplicating it is what tends to like really paralyze people, and it tends to hold them in place, and it tends to cause a lack of action because we think that it has to be perfect, but it doesn't have to.
No.
You've got to be taking steps every day that like future you could be thankful for and like be appreciative of.
Yeah. It's not about how fast you can get there. It's about getting there.
100%. Thanks. Thanks, man. This has been great. If people want to stay up to date with you and look at your posts, look at your content, where can they do that?
I do most of my posts on Instagram and stuff. I will be starting up a YouTube in a little bit, but that's some behind the scenes stuff. Cool. But yeah, I'm on Instagram, Lachlan_Hurst, and I post there pretty much every day. I'm active on my stories and stuff. So, if you guys want to have a conversation about anything fat loss related, or you're thinking of starting a fat loss journey, don't know where to start, let me know. I'm here. I'm all ears, and I can help you.
Awesome. Thanks so much, man. This has been
great. Yeah, it's been amazing. Thanks so much.